think about it. If Paul had listened to those that were saying, don't go to Jerusalem, he would miss, and we would miss, what follows in the rest of the book of Acts. So there was a great purpose in Paul going. You see, the Holy Spirit is simply warning. Warning Paul, count the cost, Paul. You're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have big trouble in Jerusalem. It's like the Lord is saying, Paul, here's what is going to happen when you get in Jerusalem. Are you still willing to go?
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 21 with a message titled, Facing Up to the Past.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
So here we are in chapter 21 of the book of Acts, and we're ending Paul's third missionary journey. And he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's there to preach to the Jewish people, his people. In spite of the warnings that he's receiving in every city, that bonds and affliction await you there. You can see it in chapter 20 that is mentioned and throughout. Remember that Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles. He received that calling in his life in the scripture, but yet he has such a love, such a burden for his countrymen. He wants to go to Jerusalem and preach to them. And yet we find that there is a death threat. There are those that are plotting to kill him. It seems like wherever they go, they want to put Paul to death. And so in Jerusalem, that would be the hotbed for that. But he wants to go to Jerusalem because he loves his people. You know, I really admire Muslims who risk death in converting to Jesus Christ. To me, it's an amazing thing under that kind of threat. But you see, that was Paul. He would risk death for his countrymen. In fact, he said at one point, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for the sake of my brethren according to the flesh. He says that in Romans 9. But here at the end of chapter 20, if you're with us, and the beginning of chapter 21 is Paul's farewell to the elders there of Ephesus on the beach of Miletus. It's really a touching scene. It's a tearful scene. I mean, you could probably, if you ever did a movie, you could do one that is really would really bring tears to your eyes, because he had been with them for 3 years. 3 years working, teaching, encouraging, setting them as an example of what a Christian is, loving them. And now he's leaving them, never to return again. And so you find them kneeling there on the beach, and you find them praying, you find them weeping, embracing Paul and kissing him and grieving over the fact that they're never going to see him again. You know, when I look at that, and we'll see that pretty much the same thing here in Patera, because it happens pretty much the same thing again with people. Some won't express that kind of emotion. They're kind of stoic, you know, they hold back. I'd have to put myself in that category too. We hold back, especially men, for fear of being hurt, not wanting to be rejected. A lot of people are that way. They don't want to expose their emotions because it could be hurtful if you're rejected. So people don't do that. But you see, the church should be the safest place to develop deep friendships, to develop trust and develop love. And it takes all of us. Sometimes we just kind of sit in our little cocoon waiting for people to come to us. But the Bible instructs us in Proverbs 18:24, a man, and I put a woman in here as well, that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Sometimes you have to reach out for people to reach in to your life. And that's what he's saying. And that's that koinonia that they had, that beautiful fellowship. That's what the word is, fellowship around Jesus Christ. That closeness of relationships, and that's what Paul had. Seems like wherever he went. So here we are, now he's parting from them, from Miletus, from those elders, chapter 21, verse 1, and we'll go to verse 2, and we'll take it in portions. Then we had parted, now Luke is with Paul and the traveling band, had parted from them and had set sail. We ran a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara, and having found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, now that's where Lebanon and Syria is today, modern Lebanon and Syria, we went aboard and set sail. So when it says they parted, I already described that tearful time that they had on the beach. The term there, parted, is to tear yourself away. Have you ever been in an embrace or been with someone you love so much? It's just, you almost have to tear yourself away to part from them. It means drag yourself off by force to leave. The hardest thing I find as a Christian, the hardest thing to do in the family of God, those who are in the church and you've grown to love them and appreciate them, and you've had that koinonia fellowship with them, and then they leave. Maybe they move away from the islands, or maybe they're redeployed. Number of those that have been part of Calvary or are part of Calvary are in the military, or they're redeployed, or their job relocates them. Whatever it might be, it's so hard when you develop that close relationship, that koinonia, that love relationship, that appreciation. It's hard. That's what we're seeing here. Now, for the next little bit, we're going to take in a travelogue. You're going to see a number of visual pictures. I thought this was very interesting, so I'll show you some of the things that Paul and the gang, the traveling companions, would see as they're sailing. And so that's what we're picking up. And you'll find in just a few verses, they're traveling 500 miles, but they're experiencing a lot of different places and a lot of different things and false gods that are in those areas that we don't necessarily see now, but we have to go back and draw some of these pictures and get some of these archaeological digs, or maybe the reimagination of these figures, and that's what we'll be doing. So here it says they're sailing. They begin to sail in verse 2. And what they're doing in verse 1 and 2, sail a straight course, and then again in verse 2, they're sailing. But the idea here is they're hugging the coast. That was the way to go, around the coastal areas. And it says a straight course to Kos. Now, Kos, interesting place. It was the birthplace of Hippocrates, the father of medicine. Hippocrates, or remember the Hippocratic oath that was given where a doctor would take that? But he was called the father of medicine. Hippocrates, you'd call it, but the Hippocratic oath is a little bit different. You say a little bit different. And that's what a doctor would take. It's an interesting oath because they still take it from way back then, when Hippocrates was alive, this father of medicine. And that oath would go something like this. It goes way back, but physicians take it today, and it goes something like this. It is one of the most widely known Greek medical texts. In the original form, it requires a new physician to swear by a number of healing gods to uphold specific ethical standards. Now, it's modified today, but it's pretty much, if you go back and you look online, you can find that text, and you could find the gods, these basically false healing gods or supposed gods that they're swearing by. But the text in itself is the same, that you're swearing to uphold the health of individuals, swearing that, but minus the so-called healing gods. There was, at that time, there was what was called a temple, famous temple of Asclepius. The temple of Asclepius. You can find some of the ruins even today, some of the archaeological digs, but it was a vast area and it was named after Asclepius. And Asclepius was a mythical god, god of medicine and healing, Asclepius. He was represented by a serpent entwined on a pole. Do anything come to mind, a serpent on a pole for medicine? Well, it comes from Asclepius. And in the temple, in this temple of Asclepius, you would lay the sick at night. You would lay the sick at night, and the serpents would be let loose on the floor of the temple. And as you were sleeping, as that sick person was sleeping, that devotee to this temple of Asclepius and the god of healing and health, Asclepius, if that serpent would crawl over your body, supposedly, it would bring healing. Now, that's a creepy way of bringing healing, but that's the idea. Now, there was the daughter of Hippocrates, and that was Hygieia. Hygieia. Again, all these mythical kind of gods and goddesses. And she was the picture of health. Or again, she was, being that daughter, the idea was health. And that's where we get our English word today, hygiene. We get it all the way back from that time. And so this Asclepius, he was so famous at that time, even today. And back then, so famous that you find that his image is printed on 1,000 drachmas currency notes. And you can even find today certain currencies in that area, in Greece and Rome and in that area, you can still find his image on some of the money that they circulate. But also when you think about the serpent on the pole, now you know the origin, where it came from. You know, the EMS, the emergency medical services, or EMTs, emergency medical transports. What do you see on the side of their, or on their door, or on their transports? You find the serpent on the pole. You see, it was a sign of healing. We still use some of the ancient images today. Now, we don't worship those gods. We don't think of that. We actually have medical professionals, and we pray to the true and living God. And that's what Paul and those were preaching throughout the areas they went to. But now they go from, now we went from Miletus to Kos, which is 40 miles. Now they travel from Kos to Rhodes. And Rhodes is, and we're going to see that, Rhodes is about 80 miles. And that trip of 80 miles would take anywhere from 4 to 6 days. 4 to 6 days, depending upon the winds. Because they're not on a huge ship, they're on a smaller ship, that ship that would hug the coast. The ships at that time, on average, they would travel about 5 knots or 5.5 miles per hour. And so it would take that long, depending, like I mentioned, how the winds were blowing. But they would sailing into the harbor here at Rhodes. They would be passing by a very interesting image that they would encounter, although it was just be the remains of that image, but it was one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. And it was 108-foot tall bronze image of the Colossus of Rome. As you entered the harbor, this Colossus, some say that the Colossus was spread its legs over one end of the harbor, over the other, the ships would sail right through and the sails, you know, would go easily through that. And so this Colossus of Rome, or this image of Apollo, that was the image that they would pass by. He was the god of enlightenment, or the sun god. Took 12 years to create this huge bronze image. And then 66 years later, an earthquake toppled it. And they said in the toppling of this image, certain parts, you know, broke apart. And they said that a man could actually fully get his arms around the thumb of this Colossus of Rome. And that's how big that image was. And the Arabs, history tells us the Arabs in 660 AD, they conquered the area. And the brass was sold to the Arabs, and they mounted 900 camels with brass or bronze to take away. So just interesting historical things, and interesting things that if you can put your mind, and if you're traveling with them, those are the things that you would see. Those are the things that you would encounter. And so they went from Rhodes to Patara. That's 70 miles. And that was a main town there, main harbor as well. So verse 3, continuing on in our little travelogue, and we'll get to some of the application here in a moment. Verse 3, and we'll go to verse 4. When we came in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, you could see that on the map as they're sailing toward the coast of Israel. We kept sailing to Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. Verse 4, after looking up the disciples, we stayed there 7 days, and they kept telling us through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. So Paul is constantly hearing this. Don't go to Jerusalem. There's going to be trouble. Trouble's going to happen. So they passed Cyprus, if you can kind of imagine, on that ship. You know, you're not going real fast, and so you see Cyprus on the left. That was the hometown of Barnabas. Remember Barnabas, the son of encouragement. What a great man of God. He was the one that Paul took, that first missionary journey in chapter 13 of Acts, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have for them. So Barnabas went on that first missionary journey, and as they're traveling. And so 7 days they were there. They were probably unloading the cargo, lots of cargo, and probably reloading the cargo. But one of the things that I note in verse 4, that they were looking up the disciples, looking up great application for us, important application for us. Because the word means searching out, intense inquiry, over and over looking for disciples. I think healthy, spiritual believers look for fellowship no matter what city they're in, no matter where they're at. They look for fellowship. Now, this was the first mention of Christians there in Tyre. Probably the result, remember when Saul of Tarsus, when he persecuted the church, and they left Jerusalem. Now, Saul becomes Paul the apostle because he's converted. And they went to all different districts. And that's probably what is happening here in Tyre. They were scattered for Paul's persecution. And now Paul and the others are finding disciples there because they searched him out. I love to search out fellowship whenever I go. We traveled to my wife's mother-in-law, his stepmother. Yeah, we went to Arkansas. And as we traveled, we went from California, we traveled through a lot of places, and I'm always looking up some of the churches, some of the Calvaries that I want to visit. And so we got to Texas, and I looked up in Gallup, Texas. There was a fellowship there. And so we looked up, they weren't having services there, but I went into the church and the pastor happened to be there. And it was so great to see the pastor, because we were on the radio in different spots and he'd heard our program and knew we were from Hawaii. And usually if you're from Hawaii, it doesn't matter who you are, you're pretty famous. Everybody loves Hawaii. So just say, yeah, I'm from Hawaii, and go, whoa, you know, people love that. But it was so good just being with that brother and just talking with him and praying with him. So good, you know, being with others. But now, notice we have to look at, they were telling Paul not to set foot in Jerusalem, really? By the Spirit? Was Paul disobedient? You see, that's one of the controversies in the church, that Paul was disobedient. The Spirit was telling him not to go, but he went anyway, and he got into a lot of trouble, and notice what happened to him. He ended up being martyred when in Rome. You see what happens when you're disobedient? Wait a minute. I don't believe that at all, because you find in chapter 19, Paul purposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And in chapter 20, verse 22, he was bound in spirit. I am on my way to Jerusalem. The Living Bible records that as drawn there irresistibly by the Spirit. So I understand that there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel, but you see, the end of your life and what you do and where you go is up to you and the Holy Spirit. Both of you decide. Oh, you get counsel, but then you weigh that counsel with what the Lord is putting on your heart. You see, but whatever God is putting on your heart, it's never going to be contrary to the Word of God. So if you're not listening to wise counsel and you're going to do your own thing and it's unbiblical, well, that's not wise. But you see, if Paul, think about it. If Paul had listened to those that were saying, don't go to Jerusalem, he would miss and we would miss what follows in the rest of the book of Acts. So close the book right here and don't go any farther if he didn't go to Jerusalem. But he did. And so we have all the rest of the book, and we can glean from that, and we can apply that to our lives. You see, you also have to remember he had collected from the Gentile churches. They had put away money for the churches in Jerusalem because they fell on hard times with the famine and with hard times, the persecution. So he was bringing that money to them. So there was a great purpose in Paul going. You see, the Holy Spirit is simply warning Paul, count the cost, Paul. You're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have big trouble in Jerusalem. It's like the Lord is saying, Paul, here's what is going to happen when you get in Jerusalem. Are you still willing to go?
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 21, titled Facing Up to the Past. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 21. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.